We're doing Rav Chaim, and we're starting the second chapter, Klal Bet. Bichlal Zeh V'Adin Hashon Hara Ba'Pei Tlata. Oh, now we're coming to a very complex, complicated concept, which everyone likes to misquote. Okay? So he begins by precluding a concept, but maybe we should understand, explain what's going on here. The Talmud in Tractate Baba Basra tells us something. I'm going to quote it. But we don't understand it till we finish the chapter, and Halvai will understand it when we finish the chapter, okay? But the whole chapter is really revolving around this quote. It says in Tractate Baba Basra, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna said, anything that was said in the presence of three people is not Lashon Hara anymore. Once it was said in the presence of three people, it's not Lashon Hara. What did he mean by that? So that's the subject of our chapter, okay? What does that mean, there's no Lashon Hara once it was said in the presence of three people? So, like I began, this is the chapter about something that is consistently misunderstood. Okay? You want to understand it? Stick around for the whole chapter, and I hope by the end we'll understand it. So, number one, says the Chafetz Chaim, Asur lesaper Lashon Hara al chavero. It is prohibited to say Lashon Hara about your fellow man. Afshu emet. Even though what you're saying is true, afilu bifnei yachid. Even if you're going to say just between the two of us, let me just tell you what so-and-so did yesterday. I'm just going to tell you. Don't tell anyone else. Still asur. V'chol shekein bifnei rabim. And certainly it's prohibited to say to a lot of people. V'chol sheyitrabu hashomim yitrabe avonam seper. And the more people listen, the more grave the transgression of the person who told it over. V'pnei shechavro mitganei yoter. Because his friend is being shamed even more, al yedei ze shenitpasem kunuto bifnei kama anashim. Because now you're publicizing what he did wrong, his shame. So telling more people is more wrong. It's more erroneous. Gam shal yedei ze machshir kama anashim beisur shmiat lashon hara. And furthermore, when you tell a bunch of people lashon hara, so you're also causing all of them to transgress, because they're all listening to Lashon Hara. So number one, saying Lashon Hara to more people does not make it permissible. On the contrary, it makes it more grave. It is still prohibited. So that's the first point, he says. Now, second point. And what our sages taught us, that to say Lashon Hara in the presence of three is permissible, what were they talking about? That's something that's not obviously shameful. It's not obviously embarrassing to the person. And what you're going to say has two aspects to it. And you know that depends on how you say it. If you say so-and-so is such a sincere chozer b'tshuva, well, that can be taken in many ways. What did you mean to say by that? Here, Chazal permitted a person to say it in the presence of three. What our sages were telling us is like this. If I'm going to say it in front of three people, then I know word is going to get back to him. You know, your friend has a friend, and you said it to him, he's going to say it to others. And so Chazal said, we can be confident that when you said it over, you're going to say it. You're going to be careful to say it in a way that will not be understood as a way that you're shaming the person. Now, again, if you're coming here and saying, did you guys hear this guy just came to our yeshiva? I hear he robbed the bank. There's no two ways to interpret that. You just said something negative. Okay, we're talking about something. He's going to give us an example now. He's talking about something that is not necessarily negative. And if you're going to say it in the presence of three other people, you know it'll get back to them. So we assume you're going to say it in a way that it won't be negative. That's the idea of three people. And he'll give an example. I'll give an example, and from that you'll infer to other examples. Kigon sheshoalin lo. They ask him, where can I find a fire? Back in ancient times, you didn't have lighters. You needed to get a fire from somewhere. And he says, he'll say, you know, In Chaim's house, they're always cooking meat and fish. Now, it depends on what you were really saying when they asked you. Could be you said it in a way that you're not putting him down. You don't mean to say he's a glutton, he's always eating meat and fish. You mean to say they always have a fire long term because they cook things that take a long time. Maybe you don't mean to say anything bad. Maybe he has a big family. And he's been blessed. He has the wealth. He can afford it. Maybe he runs a tavern. He has a lot of guests. So when you say, when you say in so-and-so's house, there's always a fire. So you didn't necessarily say something bad. You say they're always cooking meat there. Well, maybe he runs a butcher shop. Maybe he runs an inn, a restaurant. And he asks him, where could I find fire? Now, he answers him, he's telling him, at this time of night, you're not going to find the fire anywhere else, but there, they're always cooking. So he means to say something positive. You just sent them over there. You said they're always cooking. Okay, you meant positive. Now, these things are so sensitive. They are what's called in halacha, the dust of Lashon Hara. It's like the sprinkling of Lashon Hara, where it really depends on how you say it when you say it. But if the way, the voice, the intonations, and the movements when you say it, the minka shekavanato, that it's recognized that what he means to say is, shumar bebi sudat merutamid, he's always partying. What happens if you say, yeah, in his house, they're always making steaks. But the way you say it, you mean to say they're always partying. They're a bunch of gluttons. They're good for nothings. They don't do anything with their life. They're always partying. The barbecue's always working there. You didn't say they're sinning. You didn't say they eat non-kosher meat. You didn't say they're doing anything necessarily bad. But even so, sages said it's the dust of Lashon Hara. You did mean to insinuate something negative. And then it's prohibited to say, even in the presence of three. The idea of the presence of three is, Chazal said it's a gauge. Did you intend to say something positive or negative? When we're talking about something that could be understood both ways. And you have ample examples of this. You guys will be called as references for your friends in Shiduchim. And they're going to ask you about them. I'll give an easy example. You say, your friend, he's a Yeki. Is that positive or negative? Well, that depends if you ask my father's side of the family or my mother's side of the family. My father's side of the family comes from Germany. My mother's side of the family comes from Poland. So, you know, in Poland, when they wanted to say the guy was a little bit small-minded, they'd say he's a Yeki. And in Germany, when they wanted to compliment someone that he's on time, they'd say he's a Yeki. So which one is it? Is it a word of praise? Or is it, did you mean to put him down? Which one? Well, that sort of depends. Well, how did you say it?
Does it depend on how you say it, or does it depend on how the person would interpret
it? Oh, we'll get there. That's a great question. What he said so far is, what was your intent in saying it? How you say it. What are you saying? Are you saying positive or negative? Are you saying it in a way where it's supposed to be a compliment?
You don't think about both the delivery and the content. You're never going to know how the person's going to receive what you're saying, right?
So we didn't, right. So that point we still have to get back to. But the question we're dealing with now is, what did you mean when you said it? And when it can be meant, but when it can be understood both ways, the assumption is if you said it in the presence of three, you meant it positive. Now we have two examples, but there are many examples.
Not four?
What?
Not four, not two, like...
At least three.
If it's four or five, doesn't matter. The second there are three, so then you know it's going to get back to him. Well, how did you mean it? So, I had once that a student here came to me and said, how did you say this and this about me? And I said, what's the problem? And he said, you thought I'd never hear about it. I said, no, I said there were other people present. I didn't mean it in a bad way. I didn't know it could be understood in a bad way. I don't remember what it was. I just remember the conversation where I wasn't hiding it from him. I didn't think I was saying something bad about him. I don't remember what it was. Yeah.
I had previously maybe understood this concept of three to mean that if somebody had did something in the presence of three, that counted as public knowledge, and therefore
we'll get there.
To say it over or something like that.
We'll get there.
That's a separate.
We'll get there. Yeah. Okay, but
trees don't crown, right?
In a certain way, it is. Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
It is a crowd.
Can I tell a funny story about looking around?